It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Morning, folks. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton. Thank you very much for joining us today. Today's show is underwritten by Plano Golf Carts, home of the Intimidator electric off-road vehicle, Smokin' Tech's electric smokers, and Zeiss Sports Optics. Folks, our guest today is none other than Bill Dance. Bill was with us here a couple weeks ago and shed some light on the weather conditions and catching bass in the spring, and we welcome him back. Bill, thank you a lot, sir, for being with us.
Hey, thank you.
You know, we touched on it on the last time I had you on. We were talking about it had been a mild winter, and seems like everything's running a little early. But you'd also mentioned to me, remember some of those cold Marches. So we're not out of the woods yet on the weather, are we?
Oh, absolutely not. You know how the weather is. You know, once you think that you're through it, you know, here it comes again. But we have experienced just an unbelievable winter. I mean, it's absolutely our water temperature has been running anywhere from 8 to 12 degrees warmer than normal, and our fish patterns are they're almost like a March pattern. I fish over at like Pickwick Lake. Our patterns, we're normally on a jigging pattern 25 to 35 feet. Well, right now these fish are running, they're on the ledges in the creeks and on the turn-ins and the turnouts on the channel banks anywhere from 8 to 12 feet of water, 8 to 10 feet of water. And even in the deep flats coming off the channels in about 8 to 9 feet of water. So, and even I've heard reports where in some lakes where crappie are normally on an 18 to 22 foot pattern at this time of the year, they've even moved up to 6 to 8 feet in stump flats and brush tops. So, the water temperature, like I say, it should be running around 39 to 40 degrees at this time of the year. It's 51, 52 degrees, anywhere from, say, 49 to 52 degrees on some lakes, depending on the lake. So we are definitely experiencing an unbelievable winter. We'll have 2 days, you know, maybe a front will come through. We're experiencing fronts like every 3 days, but there'll be a dry front or a warmer type front, and then we'll have a strong front that'll come through, and it'll change the temperature. Daytime temperature, we'll have maybe 35 degrees, and then the next day, boom, we're back up into the mid-50s to the mid-60s and even pushing 70 degrees a few days. But what governs the water temperature are the nighttime temperatures, and we're experiencing, believe it or not, 3, 4, 5 nights above in, say, 42 to 48 degree nights. And that really governs our water temperature more than anything. It's not the daytime temperatures, it's the nighttime temperatures. So
right,
it's warming these waters up. And if the water's got a little bit of color to it, it's going to warm quicker than the clear water. But surprisingly, our clear water's pretty doggone warm. But, off-colored water, it warms quicker than clear water because of the particles. It absorbs the heat and it holds the heat better. So.
That's true. Folks, our guest is Bill Dance, if you haven't figured it out already. Bill gets with us quite frequently, and I really enjoyed hearing. Bill, you know, you and my Uncle Luke, years ago, you used to fish Camp Carefree on Horseshoe Lake.
Oh, yeah, I remember. You know, we had some good trips. In fact, I learned a lot about bass fishing right there out of that boat dock, out of that marina. We didn't really call them marinas. We just called them boat docks back in those days.
Yeah, he had a little cafe and sold a few baits, as I remember.
Oh, yeah. And he rented boats, and that was the hangout. That was the number one fishing lake in the Mid-South.
Near Hughes, Arkansas.
Absolutely.
And I think later in life, my uncle had the Sears store, he and his wife, there in in Hughes.
Right.
That's probably after his marina days. But, you know, Bill, I've kidded you before. I have the distinction of probably being the one that had the opportunity to gas Bill Dance's boat up. I used to work, you know, in the summertime, a couple of summers, I'm talking about 1964 in that era.
Right.
I was 14, and I was there, and my job was to whatever he needed me to do, but I used to get those rental boats ready, and I just have a feeling that I probably, I bet you were right there during
that. You were that ugly little boy working on the boat, Doc, weren't you?
That was me. You remember.
No, I remember.
You remember getting those canal behind his house. You know?
I remember old Luke used to, he used to just give me a boat, and I had a sculling paddle and a boat cushion. I used to scull out of there, fish all around those boat docks with a bomber crankbait. And
yeah,
he was so good to me. And Lynn, you know, his wife.
Yes.
Of course, I didn't even have I couldn't even rent a boat. And I think my grandmother would carry me over there and leave me all day. She'd drop me off and pack me a lunch, and then Luke would let me have a boat, and bless his heart, and your Uncle Luke, and I'd fish, scull around there. I had a life preserver, and of course, that boat cushion. And
had a ball, I bet.
Three or four crankbaits and my casting rod. And, I learned a lot about bass fishing.
You already knew, I'm sure you knew how to fish, but you, like you say, that was your proving grounds in a way, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, I learned a lot about shallow water fishing, fishing horseshoe lakes, a big old oxbow lake off the Mississippi River that was landlocked by the levee, and it was cypress lined on the inside bend and piers across, you know, on the outside bend. So
That,
you know, something I'll tell you, Luke, that lake today is still a phenomenal bass fishery. I mean, it's still a great, great fishery. It's good crappie fishing, good bluegill fishing, and excellent bass fishing.
It takes
a tremendous amount of pressure, but it still produces a lot of good fish. It really
does. Well, one of these times, Bill, it has truly been, the last time I have been there was about 1970. And that's been a long time ago. One of these times, I still, you know, I was just a kid, but I've got the place ingrained in my mind. I remember the cafe or the little store was right near the water.
Right.
And then there's a canal back toward their house, and then their boat docks was right there. I want to come back, and if there was ever a way in the world, I would drive up there, and I'd like to, I'd like us to get together just for a couple of 3 hours on that lake.
I'd love to do that. If I put you there if you were there right now, it would look almost identical to the way it looked in 1970. I'm telling you, it hadn't changed a bit. I'm as serious as I can possibly be.
My uncle's old house. It was a really nice home, but is it still back there? You know?
No,
it's gone.
You know, he moved down the highway. You know, and that old house is still down there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, the one he had up near the boat dock, it's not there. Everything along the lake bank is basically the same. The big old cottonwoods along the outside bend are still there, and all the big cypress on the inside bend are still there, and Five Lakes Outing Club is still across the lake, and the piers, and most of the houses are basically the same way they were back when the last time you saw it.
Bill, I want to tell you a quick relate a little tale to you that you will, I think you'll be able to really relate to. You know, Uncle Luke was a pretty accomplished fly fisherman. He loved a fly rod. You might remember, I don't know, but he did. Now, I was raised in Red River County in the country, back in the woods. And Uncle Luke, when he came down, it was a big event when he come to see us, you know, come to visit. Luke was my dad's brother, so he would come by once or twice a year and spend a week with us. My job was to take Uncle Luke to all these out backwoods fishing holes, Bill, and I was his guide. I'm talking about I knew all the places to go, so I would watch him, and he taught me a little bit about fly rod fishing. Well, we were at a place called the Round Hole, right up off Highway 37, about 10 miles south of the Red River, and it was right off the road, but it was full of big bluegills. Well, he had that fly rod going, and he was double hauling it. In other words, when he come back, the fly come back right on the backstroke, he'd jerk that line down and double haul it. All of a sudden, you'd have to know my uncle, but just picture the look on his face.
I can see it now.
Okay, well, he had it double hauled. It was almost dark. That fly had reached the pinnacle up high. He looked at me. I heard the reel screaming, and I won't say exactly the words he used, but he said, "What kind of fish do y'all have down here in Texas, boy?" An owl had picked up his popping bug. This is a true story, and went straight up. And he looked at me. Of course, back in those days, you know, you're going to get the owl. He caught that cotton-picking owl and put a towel over it and everything, and they kept it for... He tried to decapitate a few of us kids, but they kept it on a perch for about a week, finally turned it loose. That's a true Uncle Luke story. I wished you could have seen him, Bill.
Hoot what?
Yes. I was probably 10 years old. I remember it like yesterday, you know.
That's wild. He never told me that one, but I can imagine what he said.
Oh, yeah, you can imagine. Well, the TV show, Bill, that you do, the Saltwater series, this time of year, is this a time when you spend a lot of time down on the coast filming?
No, I learned a long time ago. When we first started it, we tried to do wintertime saltwater shows, but we learned that's not the time to do them.
Right.
Our best time is in the spring, and especially in the summer and the fall. That's the best time to do that. And there's a few species that you can fish for in the winter, but by and large, most of your better saltwater fishing takes place in the late spring, summer, and fall. So right now, what we're doing is more bass fishing and crappie fishing and freshwater stuff right now.
Sticking up closer to home. And
right.
But now folks can watch the show. How about, you know, a lot of people may not know exactly where to find it, but I wish you'd tell them, Bill.
Well, we've moved both. Of course, our freshwater show is still where it is. We're on NBC Sports, and we've moved our saltwater show to NBC Sports. So you can catch us. We're Saturdays and Sundays each week, 52 weeks a year, right there on NBC Sports, which NBC bought out Versus. So now it's all under the NBC Sports umbrella. So you can catch us both Saturdays and Sundays. And then through the week, we'll air several times, but our major runs are Saturdays and Sundays.
Right. Well, I've enjoyed all the shows, Bill, but the saltwater shows, I've really enjoyed those because...
Oh, we've enjoyed them too, and I appreciate you saying it because, you know, we've got a lot to learn about it. I don't know a lot about saltwater fishing, but we go each week with a noted saltwater expert, so to speak, and I kind of host the show, and we try to make it as educational as possible, and we let them kind of dictate the flow of the show, and we do it more with inshore species, more so than offshore, but we'll sprinkle in a little bit of offshore, but we do it that way because we feel like more people can relate to inshore and can afford to do inshore more than, you know, blue water type stuff, and we're relating to, you know, cobia, tarpon, permit, redfish, speckled trout. We may do stripers, but it's just right off the coast within, you know, a half a mile to a mile off coast, you know, off the shore. And we do mostly shark, different types of inshore species that most people can relate to.
Well, Bill, I appreciate you being with us today. We are out of time for today's show, and maybe here in a couple of weeks we can get you back and talk some more fishing.
Okay, buddy. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and look forward to doing it.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, buddy.
Folks, today's show has been underwritten by Allied Kenco Sales down in Houston. Everything for the outdoor cook and butcher, and Clean Shot Archery, maker of hollow points and the laser broadhead. I've really enjoyed bringing the show to you. I appreciate Bill Dance taking the time to be with us, as he does so often, He's a great friend, and I'll tell you what, as most of you know, he's a very, very knowledgeable fisherman. You know, we're almost out of time for today's show. I would like to remind you that if you go to catfishradio.com, you can listen to the archive of the radio show that I do each week. That's an hour-long show, and a lot of the guests that we have here are also there at Catfish Radio. Thanks again for being with us. I want you to all have a good week in the outdoors. I want you to be safe and join me right back here this same time next week.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.